Hey, gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio, the Patrick and Jeremy Show, Part 2. This is after Batman and Robin. We're all tied up, and a train's going to come, or we're dangling over a cliff, or we're strapped to a buzzsaw or whatever. But I have the feeling that things are going to turn out okay. We're somehow going to get freed, and we're going to catch the bad guys. I got that feeling. But you know how you can make that happen is by contributing badly needed fundage to RBN. There is a connection. And Jeremy, how do they contribute badly needed fundage?
Well, a check or money orders made out to RBN can be sent to Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And you can call them to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. PayPal is good as always. So, also, go to the RBN store and shop for Christmas presents that are hard to buy for a relative or a friend. You can find what they need on RBN. And when you shop at the RBN store, you're supporting the network. Free speech is not free. And you have to send fundage to make sure that this is available for your children, your grandchildren.
So true, so true. And while you're watching that daring escape from the buzzsaw, you're watching it and you're you're sipping your gin and eating your cheese and croutons. You want to make sure that they're not kosher certified. Unless you're keeping kosher, then you want to make sure that they're not kosher certified. So download the Kosher Certified app. It is, what is it, $3.99? Whatever it is, you can afford it. And you can download it over and over and over again. And it's totally the sponsor of the Patrick and Jeremy Show. And NationalBugle.com is the number one download site for the awesome Co-Certified app. Okay, well, when we were left dangling at the buzzsaw, there was talk of all wars being bankers' wars. And you know, I don't think so. I think bankers can make money off of wars. And I think if you look in history, there were times when bankers may have been necessary for these wars. But we live in a different era. And so if you're looking back at, in the Middle Ages or whatever, there were 800 years ago or whatever, there were the equivalent of bankers. But the thing is, you know, if you're going back several centuries, we had a metal-based monetary system, silver and gold. And silver and gold was real stuff. It was real stuff. And if people were expecting silver and or gold in exchange for their services, their goods and services, you had to have it. And so I think in that era, which actually, you know, pretty go back a little more than 100 years ago, 120 years ago, the Russo-Japanese War, the Japanese might have had trouble defeating the Russians without the aid of loans so that they could procure certain materials from overseas. But the way the United States economy is over the past 100 years or more, oh, you know, we have the Federal Reserve, and you say, oh, well, the Federal Reserve is a bank. But, you know, the Federal Reserve isn't, it is the Reserve Board is actually appointed by the president. It is a semi-public, semi-private institution. It's got private aspects to it, but it's got public government controlled aspects to it. And the fact of the matter is that the United States government is able to print money. We have political money now. Fiat money is political money, and it is not dependent on bankers. Bankers have a role in it, but it's the American government or the Chinese government or the Russian government or other countries are able to mobilize their own resources. They're able to mobilize their people and whatever goods and services at least can be procured domestically or from perhaps from their trading blocks. The United States has a little more of an advantage. The dollar is so widely accepted. But they have the ability to procure things. And they have their own, you know, these central banks. Central banks, you know, it's. I think it's a cop-out to just say, oh, the central banks, they're all controlled by the Rockefellers or the Rothschilds or whatever. The central banks have, their leadership is appointed by governments. And I would say that that if a government wants to raise billions or trillions of dollars, it can rely on its own central bank to do it, that it has enough level of control there. That's what I say. I'm throwing it out to you, and then we can move on.
So my question is, to say that all wars are bankers' wars, is that a way to skirt the Jewish question? That all wars are Jewish wars?
And I wouldn't say all wars are Jewish wars either, but I would say that certainly all the American wars over the past 30 years have been Jewish wars. I wouldn't even say the Vietnam War is a Jewish war, but if you go from the Gulf War, the invasion of Afghanistan, then the Iraq War, and then our dalliances in Libya and Syria, these are Jewish wars. These are Jewish wars. They're not banker wars. And, you know, you notice we were talking yesterday with one of our callers who made the point about all wars are banker wars and said that, you know, people like Victoria Nuland, they're just puppets. And I say, who controls them, bankers? No. Well, if the bankers aren't calling the shots, why are these banker wars then? And I think there's a little bit of a disconnect there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you've definitely got in the current era a Jewish-dominated elite in America wanting to get the greater Israel land occupied, the greater Israel plan, Yedid Alman plan.
Mm.
So you got that going on. You can say bankers, you can say Jewish, but at the end of the day, you know, Israel has the greatest, the most powerful lobby in all of the world, in the United States, you know, going to AIPAC. And so the wars in the Middle East are actually wars to further Jewish domination of the Middle East for the Yedid Alman plan. So that's what I would say.
Mm-hmm. You know, we've over the past month, we've had a couple of interesting statements from Donald Trump, who, you know, I don't think he was part of some master plan. I think he came about because he's kind of a megalomaniac and an egotist and wanted to be president and wound up finding a way to be president, which was by giving voice, a slightly inarticulate and crude voice, but a voice nonetheless to certain interests, to a large extent ethnic white interests, and he rode that into the White House. But I think he was really no match for his many, many enemies and opponents. And didn't play politics very well. But he had a couple of interesting statements. You know, the first was, you know, interview he had where he was talking about Israel used to control Congress, and rightfully so, and now it doesn't. You know, and what was he trying to do there? What was he trying to do? I guess he just assumes that white boomer America is just really pro-Israel. I don't know if he was even so much trying to get money from the Jews for his next election. It's hard to say why he said that. It was a weird and stupid thing to say. And then, of course, a week or so ago, he's being interviewed, and he's talking about Bibi Netanyahu. And, of course, if my reading of him as an egotist and a megalomaniac is correct, then he takes this very, very personally, Bibi Netanyahu being the first foreign leader to congratulate Brandon on his stolen election. And, and he said, F Bibi Netanyahu, and then made some other comments, like if it hadn't been for him, that Israel would have been overrun, or whatever the language he used. And so, there you go. I don't know where I'm going with this, but it's interesting that he made these statements. I don't think he was completely defeated by Jews. There was a Jew d'etat from practically day one, and they got the better of him. And he's kind of a hapless character now. And I don't even know why I brought him up at this point. So I'm just kicking it back to you, Jeremy.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've got a lot of conservatives, conservatards, Trumptards, that are going to be Trump no matter what. And they're going to ignore. It's interesting, the right wing political movement is against these vaxxers. But yet Trump has pushed the vax. And so there's a little bit of a cognitive dissonance going on with the right wing that I see, in that they want to support Trump. They want to follow this cultist support of this man. But yet they understand that the vaxxers and the whole COVID-19 are complete malarkey. I mean, for lack of a better word. And so they don't know what to do when Trump comes out and pushes the vaxes. And yet he, appears to appeal to their constituents. So I don't know. I mean, the right wing right now is in shambles because of what Trump has done in pushing this deadly vax. So, it does give ground to those who say that Trump was controlled from the beginning.
Well, I will push back against that. I think Trump's presidency, to a large extent, was a disaster. Maybe the best thing you can say for it is that it saved us from a much worse Hillary administration. And I think he kind of tried in a lot of ways, but just he did not appoint allies. He appointed enemies. Maybe he was thinking, keep your friends near, but your enemies nearer. He kept his enemies really, really close, and they got the better of him. But you think back to the beginning of 2020, when the coronapocalypse first started. And at that point in time, Trump had peace. I mean, he had done the whole Soleimani thing, which was stupid, but he had peace, and he had prosperity. He very much had prosperity. The economy was booming, and with peace and prosperity, even with the media dead set against you, it's hard to bet against a president who's got peace and prosperity and is looking at his reelection. But the coronapocalypse was used to shut down economies, and you were having that done to a large extent at state levels. I mean, states were doing shutdowns. It wasn't a national shutdown, but it was decimating the economy. And within a few months, you had 40 to 50 million people thrown out of work. 40 to 50 million. Nothing like that had ever happened. And I think so what was Trump doing with the vaccine? Trump was trying to establish something that would offset all of that job loss, to give hope that things will go back to normal. We'll have a vaccine. We'll go back to normal. All of this job loss, this is all temporary. Things are going to go back to normal. I think that's why he went with a vaccine. And, of course, when he was trying to develop the vaccine, when he was pushing this Operation Warp Speed, you had Joy Reid, and the entire pro-Democratic press was all against it. Oh, I would never take a Trump vaccine. They were dead set against the vaccine. So it's, you know, one can understand that Trump, that he saw this as a strategy for getting over the lockdowns, getting over the bad economy, as he's, you know, rushing towards his election. And then B, that because his political opponents were so against the vaccine, that he would then embrace it as his accomplishment. But of course, you know, given the history of 2021, where the vaccines are being forced on people, and people, especially Trump's own people, Trump's own supporters, his natural supporters, to a very large extent, are the most resistant to the vaccines. A lot, you know, the older boomers, even the Trump ones, a lot of them are taking it. Maybe most have taken it, but still, the resistance is more from Trump's natural base. And so now there is this massive, glaring disconnect that you talk about. But I think that's how it came about. I think you can understand how it came about. It didn't come about because Trump was part of a plan, but it came about because Trump, he had certain instincts that weren't so bad on the corona apocalypse, but he did embrace the vaccine as a strategy, and now he's stuck with it. And it's going to be very hard for him to go back after having claimed the vaccines as his baby, because it really was his baby, now to say, well, actually, it was they're a deadly vax. How can he go back on it? And maybe that makes him useless to us now.
Quite possibly.
Yeah. I'm trying to be fair and accurate. That's what I'm striving for, to be accurate. I might be wrong on things, but that's what I think. I don't think Trump was part of some plan in doing this, but he's made a lot of bad decisions, and I don't try to excuse all of his bad decisions. A lot of his bad decisions are his fault, but in general, I think he had the job that he needed to do was a lot tougher than, not only a lot tougher than he ever thought, but I think it's an awful lot tougher than his critics in right-wing radio or right-wing call-in radio. I think it's a lot tougher than... Because I remember when, during the Trump administration, people would call into Stormfront and say, all he needs to do is sign an executive order sealing the border or whatever. And no, that's not how... The government has millions and millions of employees. And you can't stand over each employee, even if you run a small organization, even if you have a small group of people you supervise. It can be hard to impose yourself on a small group of people. And when you're talking about the government, people with tenure or people with, you know, job guarantee, where you can't just go and, you know, like if somebody's not going to do what you say, you just fire them immediately. It doesn't work that way, and you can't necessarily hire everybody you want because you got Senate confirmation for important posts. He made lots and lots of mistakes, and I'm not going to excuse him for his mistakes, but I do think that an awful lot of his critics have no idea how difficult the job of saving America was.
A point well taken. And this gets us to Assange.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, Assange is something, we'll have to talk about it after the break, but Assange is something that he really could have pretty easily done something about and didn't. I guess the only excuse is if he had pardoned Assange, he would have faced harsh media criticism, as if he wasn't already getting harsh media criticism. So we'll be right back.
To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. Every move he makes, another chance he takes. The odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man. They've given you a number, hadn't you?
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives?
I have another update on the fundraising situation. We can accept PayPal through the RBN site. You can mail in cash, check or money order, made out to RBN. Made out to RBN. The postal address is 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If you send in a check or money order, it needs to be made out to RBN, just the three letters, RBN. And if you have any questions, call 800-724-2719 extension 3. Feel free to call on in on this issue and we'll try and get you squared away. The network thanks you.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime fighting, political science analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born again traditional Christian. And my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
We are back. So, Trump, Assange, what's going on with all this?
So, Assange headed for a torture camp.
Mm-hmm.
Pulling up the article now on Russia Today. U.S. wins Assange extradition appeal. So the United States is going to be able to pull Assange from Europe into the United States on extradition charges.
Okay, when did this happen? When was this article published?
10 December 2021 on Russia Today.
Okay, I guess I've been kind of distracted. I didn't quite catch that. So is Assange actually coming to the United States then?
The UK, the United Kingdom, High Court has granted the U.S. government's appeal over the refusal to extradite WikiLeaks co-founder Julian Assange, opening the door for his eventual trial on American soil on espionage charges. So that's what they got him on, espionage charges. In January, a district court denied the U.S. extradition request, citing the vulnerable mental state of the publisher, Julian Assange, and the possibility that he would take his own life if subjected to brutal prison conditions in the U.S.
Well, and then Tucker had on, I guess that explains it, that Tucker had on Julian Assange's brother, and has been covering Assange quite a good deal. And Julian Assange's brother was saying that he didn't think Assange would survive in American jails, and American jails are violent places, and obviously Epstein, something happened. He doesn't seem to be where he was put, whether he was committed suicide, whether he was murdered, whether he was snuck out, whatever. But they're violent places. And just getting back to the whole Trump thing, I mean, there's a lot of things that you can say, and I will defend Trump and say, well, you know, it was a lot harder than people thought. But in terms of Julian Assange, Trump's behavior regarding Julian Assange, I can't think of any good excuse for it other than, you know, Trump's a pussy. And that's about it. And I don't know if I can say that on RBN, but okay, he's a coward. That just shows really bad judgment. And of course, in, you know, those last 2 weeks he was in office after January 6th, what did he have to lose? And he was sitting there just like asking Jared Kushner, you got any Jews I can pardon? I mean, literally, he was just saying, you got any Jews I can pardon? And everybody was shouting, like, you know, Mike Rivera or everybody else, they're just shouting, pardon Assange, pardon Assange. Glenn Greenwald, all these people just saying, pardon Assange. And he's like, you got any Jews for me that I can pardon? And he didn't pardon Assange. He didn't pardon the January 6th people. And, you know, that is a stain that will never come off. And like I say, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, if there's going to be a meaningful election in 2024. I don't know if Trump's ever going to learn any lessons. He may well be president again. It may well happen. Would it even be worth anything? And, you know, but like, he just doesn't seem to have learned lessons. And there are some things he could have done that he didn't. And that's certainly that is very much to his discredit. Okay, well, you sent this ethanol article, and we've got the whole CO2 ethanol business. You know, the CO2 economics, not even the monetary economics, but really like the CO2 economics of ethanol, has always been the most bizarre thing, because last time I checked, about a dozen years ago or so, 10, 12 years ago, in order to produce a gallon of ethanol, you had to use about like 8 or 9 tenths of a gallon of gasoline, because the whole process, or, you know, the whole process is so crazy. We've got our agriculture. It's not organic agriculture. What's it based on? It's based on these artificial fertilizers. Which, how do you make the artificial fertilizers? You use a whole lot of methane. So, anyway, we're up on the break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Talking about ethanol. And Jeremy, do you have a lot of corn out where you are?
Yeah, we got a lot of chicken farmers. We got a lot of people that use corn to feed their chickens, and ethanol for fuel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a huge crop here in West Kentucky. But I just wanted to highlight this from the mainstream wiki. CO2 from ethanol plants is regarded as a high grade after some minor processing to remove the small amounts of impurities. A typical ethanol plant producing 50 million gallons of ethanol per year will also produce 150,000 metric tons of CO2. So we got to see how this plays in with the whole global warming talking points of ethanol and CO2 produced in the atmosphere.
So even as somebody from like an environmentalist background, more or less traditional kind of lefty Naderite environmentalist background, serious environmentalists were never for ethanol, because in order to produce ethanol, it's made from corn for the most part. It could be made from other things, but it, for the most part, it's made from corn. And, you know, about, if you're looking at our usage of fossil fuels, a big hunk of it goes towards agriculture. Why? Because the to produce this artificial, you know, man-made nitrogen-based fertilizer, you need to use an awful lot of natural gas. So you're using an awful lot of you know, fossil fuel in order to make the fertilizer. And then, of course, you know, farm machinery requires a certain amount of fossil fuels. The farm machinery is not run off of wind turbines or solar panels. And then, you know, once the crop has been harvested, it needs to be transported there again. You know, you're transporting it using fossil fuels there. And then, as this article points out, the refining the corn into ethanol, there again, you're using, that also produces, it uses fossil fuels and it produces, you know, the CO2. So even if you care about the CO2, even if you care about CO2 emissions, ethanol gives you such an incredibly minor reduction in CO2 compared to just gasoline that you drill and refine. It's such a minor reduction. And at what cost? At what cost? You're using all of this farmland that should be raised for food production, should be used for food production, and you're getting so little bang for the buck. So it makes no sense. And say, you know, an educated Naderite was never for this type of thing anyway. But then it also gets to the whole global warming thing. And even as somebody who accepts that the climate is changing because of human endeavors, we've got a lot of things going on. We've got a lot on our plate. We've been talking about World War III. We're talking about the massive attack on our people, the white people. We're talking about the end of the Republic. And my question is, ain't nobody got time for that? I mean, really, can we be bothered? Don't we have so much on our plate? Can we really be bothered about climate change?
Well, the American people are going along with their lives and just living their lives outside of climate change, you know, outside of the Omicron variant. So, yeah, I mean, people are going to live how they're going to live.
So, you know, the other thing is, if they want us to take the global climate change, if they wanted to take it seriously. I mean, I do, like, I take it seriously, but they hitch on this massive agenda with all these ulterior motives. They hitch on this massive agenda to climate change. And, you know, I've brought this up before. You look at the Green New Deal as written for and introduced by Sandy Cortez. And, you know, it's talking about how racist everything is, and we need people from vulnerable and at-risk communities to be in charge of this. And like, why do you need like trannies and homeless people in charge of your policy to save the global environment? It makes no sense. None of this makes sense. Just like they're putting all of these agendas that have nothing to do with public health onto the whole coronavirus response. And again, like, I think there is a new coronavirus, a novel coronavirus, and some people are at risk to it. I don't think any of the policies they've pushed have are worthy of support. I think had they had some measures to targeted at allowing truly vulnerable people who wanted to self-isolate for a few months to have an assistance program for those people so that you know, the virus could just run through the rest of the population, and you know, in a few months you have these measures that would have been reasonable, but nobody pushed that. None of that ever happened. Everything that they did was absolutely wrong, and so I don't blame people who, because of the clearly malevolent ulterior motives and this agenda that was attached to the coronavirus, I don't blame people for saying that the entire thing was a hoax, because I think it was like 80% or 90% hoax, not entirely. But if, you know, I don't blame people for saying the whole thing's a hoax. And likewise with the global climate change, I think there's global climate change, and I think it's serious. But everything that they propose around it, there are clearly these ulterior motives. They're clearly using it for nefarious purposes. And so I'm not surprised, and I don't particularly blame people who say that the whole thing's a hoax. I don't think it's a hoax, but I do think everything they're doing is wrong. And the thing is, if there is a problem, whether it's crisis level or not, if there's a problem or a crisis, and instead of trying to actually address the crisis, you just, you know, Rahm Emanuel style, say, oh, don't let a perfectly good crisis go to waste, and you attach all of your other agenda onto it, then, I mean, that is so much worse than being a denialist. I mean, those are the real problems. Those people are the problems. Okay, we've had a bit of, excuse me, internet connection issues, but we're back. And so there we are, the global warming or global climate change. I say it's a real thing, but there's been this nefarious effort to tack on all sorts of agendas onto it. I don't blame people for pushing back with total denialism, because to deny it is a lot less of it's a lot less evil, or evil, it's evil. It's a lot less of a problem than the people who are hitching. What do you think about that, Jeremy?
Well, yeah, no, as we've been talking about from the article, using it as justification to just take this farmland and pretty much take people's main source of heat. You know, with the ethanol thing, that's the thing about it is you see these, the system is so destructive. Like, they could come up with better ways to solve, you know, what they're calling the climate change issue. Just as they could come up with better ways to solve the overpopulation issue. And both of them are a thing. And I think we're agreeing on that they're a thing, but that our the system is handling it in such a destructive way. Like, they're being obvious in the last 18 months. They've been very obvious that they want to destroy, like, the social order and actually just destroy people's lives. And so the, you know, the average person, the working class person, just sees it, and they're like, "Well, it's a hoax then," because they see how the system's handling it. And if we may touch on the overpopulation thing, you know, if we have enough farmland in South America and Africa to feed the world without even having to resort to GMOs, you know, and put apartheid back in South Africa, and let the white Dutch farmers run it, and you could feed that whole continent and probably a fourth of Asia. Put China in charge of North Africa, and then set up farms in South America. You could set up farms down there without destroying all of the rainforest. There is a way to do that. See, I'm just brainstorming here, but what I'm saying is we're not utilizing the resources of this earth fully. This earth can handle 8 billion people. We're just not utilizing the resources correctly, and you've got this very, very select elite at the top that want to make sure that they live high on the hog, and they're the ones that are really scared of
the resources running out. And I think that's the push for pretty much everything that we're seeing, is these elites, now that we have the technology, and now that they can pretty much, you know, have automation, you know, like Chairman Yang was talking about, we're going into the age of automation. They don't need all these people. And mm-hmm. So they're looking for a way to get rid of them, reduce the population, but yet still keep their way of life at the top. What do you think about that analysis?
You know, I had anthropology professor when I was an undergraduate, and he said, I can basically explain the history of mankind like this. And he made four marks on the chalkboard. Okay, at the bottom, he had like two marks. They looked kind of like a V. They formed more or less a V. So going from the bottom top, bottom from the, you know, bottom going up, you had these two lines going apart from each other. And then over that, he had basically a upside down V, where they're getting small again. And he said, what you see is throughout human history until recently, everything's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Systems are getting bigger. Tools are getting bigger. But now things are getting smaller and smaller because of, you know, technology. A lot of the, you know, just think of a computer. And this is 40 years ago, but computers have been getting bigger and bigger. But then they were starting to get smaller even 40 years ago. And the population got bigger and bigger. And with that big population, we had an industrial revolution. And the fruits of the Industrial Revolution included, you know, space travel and telecommunications and just everything you can imagine, microtechnology, nanotechnology. But now we've got all this stuff, and we don't really need to have the billions and billions of people to support it. And I think this was actually kind of obvious to me, even as a 12-year-old or so. That we have, huge numbers of people that aren't strictly necessary in order to maintain our technological infrastructure. It was certainly obvious. It's obvious to a lot of people. And now the thing is, it's one thing to look out and say, you know, all of these people who are either like, you know, welfare people for sure, but also people who are involved in sustenance agriculture, where all they're doing is sustaining themselves, that they are expendable as far as maintaining technological infrastructure is concerned. It's one thing to notice that. It's another thing to try to do something about it. And I notice things. I would never try to eliminate people because they're not necessary to maintain the infrastructure. But I think what you're talking about is these people at the top. Now that they've developed all of this technology, now that maybe they're on the doorstep of transhumanism or whatever, now they're happy to try to cut out all of these people who have been made redundant by automation, who have been made redundant by technology. And you know, that's the big difference between me and them, I'll tell you that much, because the way I look at it is, you know, maybe it would be nice if some generations from now Earth's population's a lot lower, and maybe we can reach that through enlightenment and attrition or whatever. But these people, I think a lot of people here is like, oh, wouldn't it be nice if we could just eliminate these people, either through mass murder or through mass sterilization? And that's a real different mindset.
Well, and I've heard people make the argument. Did we hit the break?
Nope, we have another 90 seconds.
I'll make it quick. And I've heard people make the argument, well, they're getting rid of all the people that would comply. You know, the people that are taking the vax and buying into all this, if indeed this is sterilization, and we know for sure it's unhealthy, that's 100% that the vax is unhealthy. And time will tell if it's sterilization. I've heard people say, well, why are they getting rid of the ones that are compliant? Well, they want those of us that are strong, that survive, what few of us that are left, they want us to be the slaves. They want to enslave the strongest and the healthiest. That's my sort of what I see how this is going, and that's why they're getting rid of the compliant first.
Well, I don't know, and I don't really think there's a master plan. I think a lot of these people, you know, the Gates and all, there, maybe they're just trying to. They're dangling out some bait. Are they master baiters? I don't know. They're not master planners, because I think there are a lot of agendas, and some of the agendas are cooperating with each other right now. A lot of plans, a lot of agendas, and it's playing itself out. We'll see. Okay, well, we are up on the break now. We'll be right back.
All right, so I guess we could talk about Brandon coming to Mayfield.
Okay.
Be here today.
Yeah, that'll be it. So I'll just take it over to you.
Do you have a way to pull up a website?
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Okay, we are back, and I hear fake President Brandon might be coming to your neck of the woods.
Resident Brandon and his fake administration are coming on down to make a good showing. I guess they're hurting so bad in the polls, they're going to use this opportunity to try to look good. And that's literally how I see it. I'm not cutting him any slack on this. These people do not care about us. And I don't just mean Mayfield, Kentucky. I mean, they don't care about any of us in the United States. They've demonstrated that very clearly over the last nearly 2 years of these, you know, fake pandemic measures. And I do. I think that they're purposefully taking the economy out. We still don't know why the container ships are out and they can't dock. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a reason. There's something that could be done, and it's not being done. I just really think that – I don't know how much on the same page you and I are. I know you don't want to think of it as a master plan, but I do think that they're purposefully trying to destroy our lives and our economy, if we could agree on that.
Well, yeah. I think we absolutely have powerful people who are plotting and working against us and against our interests.
And so, you know, that's why I don't really look at Biden coming down here. I mean, it's just for a show. And, of course, Bashir is going to meet him. I don't care about Bashir. Bashir would have us all locked down and restaurants closed and kids wearing masks and taking vaxes at 5 years old if he had his way. But fortunately, our state legislature cut the legs out from under him, cut his fake pandemic powers away from him and put him in his place. So, I mean, otherwise, Bashir would be coming down on us just as much as the New York City mayor, you know, is on them. And so I don't care about these people. I wish they wouldn't even come down here. They're just going to,
a convoy of dozens and dozens of vehicles. They're going to clog up traffic. They're going to make it more difficult for goods to be delivered and whatnot.
Yeah, we got people. We're literally still cleaning trees off of properties and picking stuff up out of the street, and people are trying to put their lives back together. And now the CIA is going to show up early and secure the area and traffic blockades. It's just going to be a big mess. I just wish to hell he would just stay out of here.
Indeed. Okay, well, thank you very much for joining me today. And I'm sorry about our connection and recording issues, but there will always be next week.
Yeah. We'll do it next week, man. Stay classy, Patrick.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.